Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, January 28th, 2010. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by The Media Is You, the only intensive hands-on workshop that helps small business owners create branded media to promote their companies and expand their platform for success. Coming soon to a city near you, visit themediaisyou.com for more information. Well, according to recent reports, the natural products industry continues to grow in record numbers. In fact, according to the Natural Foods Merchandiser, a natural products trade magazine, natural product sales reached a record $68 billion annual sales in 2008. This was up $6 billion from 2007. While it seems that things slowed down a bit due to the economic turndown in 2009, the market overall is expected to continue to grow because consumers will be very careful in choosing products that they consider to be safe and healthful. Could this be a good time to start a new natural products business? To help us answer that question and other questions about the natural products world, I'm excited to welcome my guest today. Her name is Mindy Green, and she has 35 years of experience in the natural products and healthcare industries, specializing in botanicals. She recently left her position in the Botanical Research Division as a clinical aromatherapist for the Aveda Corporation in Minneapolis to begin her own consulting company, Green Sensations, LLC. Mindy is the co-author of Aromatherapy, A Guide to the Healing Art. She's also the author of Calendula, which for those of you who don't know, is a wonderful healing herb, and also Natural Perfume. She has contributed to numerous other books on herbs and also to one of my favorite herbal magazines, The Herb Companion. She joins us today from her home office. Welcome, Mindy.
Thank you, Donna Maria. It's wonderful to be with you.
Well, now, Mindy, I got to tell everyone that your book, and you have more than one, you've done a lot of writing, but I have the Aromatherapy, A Guide to the Healing Art, and I love it. I don't have the new edition. I have the old one, and it smells really good because I've spilled essential oils on it for, like, I don't know, what, 10 years now?
So it makes a great water.
Thanking you. That is how I discovered Mindy, and I know a lot of my listeners know who she is, too. Mindy, you have a long history in this industry. You know, where did it all start for you? You know, was it at Aveda when it all started for you?
Oh, gosh, no. I was into natural products in my teens, really. I started through my interest in diet and foods, and I started working in a health food store, and later I owned my own health food store and vegan restaurant and herb shop. And so it was a great introduction to getting into plants.
Wow. So we're talking someone that's got way depth and passion, not just business, but also you love, from a personal perspective, what herbs and essential oils have done for you in your personal life.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I don't know a single person in this industry who isn't in it for their own kind of personal joy and passion for sharing the information. It really is something that it's not like banking or computers or kind of anybody can go into it. It really is a unique industry, and I think if you don't have a personal passion for it, it's probably not the right place for you.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that you say that because so many of the small and independent business owners that I work with, they do start their businesses, whether it's herbal aromatherapy or otherwise, from some kind of a passion. And so that's one of the common denominators. But one of the things that's interesting about you is you started your business long before the Internet, long before social media. And so, you know, you have been successful even before all of the technological tools we have today. Mindy, what have you seen over the past few years? This is for my listeners who have a business today or are looking to start one and use technology. What sorts of things have you seen over the past 5, 6, 7 years that have made the industry different from the way it is when you started?
You know, I think you pretty much nailed it. It's the Internet, and it is social media that has made a huge difference in terms of connecting with people and just kind of getting your business out there or your message out there. Prior to that, it really was kind of a word-of-mouth thing. Certainly media, in terms of the natural products industry magazines, that was probably the best place to be informed. some of the early publications. You mentioned Herb Companion. There were some other early publications that aren't out there anymore. But even things like Organic Gardening, those kinds of magazines, Mother Earth News, and things like that, were really a place that people like us connected.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because one of the things that makes it easier to be in business today in many respects is the Internet. But because that makes it so easy, does it also mean that there are more people vying for opportunities and attention in the herbal and aromatherapy industries today?
Well, I'm not sure if there are more, but we're certainly aware of the ones that are out there. Before, I think there may have been just as many, but we didn't know them if they weren't in our area. And certainly from attending conferences for many, many decades, that's how you would connect to those kinds of people. But now the Internet, of course, you just Google a word and
right.
You can find everybody who's doing that.
Right. Well, you know, and there are, you know, of course, the Indie Beauty Network has several members that are just fantastic in the aromatherapy and herbal industries, and they've been at it for a long time. We have some very successful member businesses. But, you know, one of the questions I get is from new people. They've just discovered herbs. They've just discovered aromatherapy. And I'm sure you get this question all the time, too. You know, where do you start? Once you go to your natural food store, maybe you take a couple of classes. They're free at the store, and you find some things that you kind of like to make on your own. And then you think, you know, maybe you make some Christmas gifts, and people like them. And you're thinking, oh, wow, maybe this could be a business. And your mind is flooded with information and ideas, Mindy. What do you recommend that people in that position do first if they do want to explore business options?
Well, I think you said one of the major components there, and that's education. And it's hard to compete with somebody who's been in the industry for a long time and kind of knows their way around and knows a lot more about the products that they're selling than somebody who's just coming in new. So I suggest starting small. And, you know, you mentioned doing Christmas gifts for people, having kind of home shows where you get a group of friends in and you all make products together, and you know, you can call it a class or you could just call it a gathering, but
right.
Selling at the farmer's market, that kind of thing, dipping your toe in the water kind of slowly, because it can take a lot of energy, and if you're really committed and you're really putting everything forth, you've got to do your homework and you've got to be prepared for what it takes. And owning an herb business is a lot about owning a business. A lot of my friends start out because they love herbs, and then they realize they have to know how to make labels. They have to know the regulations for what the label needs to say. They need to be aware of the current legislative process of their product. And there's a lot more than just being excited about the plants, and certainly that's a great starting point, but don't kid yourself. It's a lot about business, and you've got to have accounting down, and there's a lot of things. So I just recommend starting slowly. At least that's the way I did it. When I owned my natural foods business, it was an herb store, natural food store in British Columbia, and I just started making products, and I had an outlet kind of built in to my store. And in those days, there weren't a lot of places where you could buy tinctures and things like that. So I had kind of a ready-made place to sell. So one of the things you could do is really just kind of search the market, go around to your local stores and see who's in the market for something that's local, that's unique, that's different than anybody else is offering. And it is a little harder these days because there are companies that are out there doing this that have been doing it for 20, 30 years. So the competition is definitely bigger than it was when I started.
And, you know, a lot of the companies that you mentioned that have been doing it for that long are pretty big. And one of the things that occurs to me is that for very small companies who aren't that large, and I'm really, when I say small, I mean really small, in, you know, under $1 million a year in sales. And, of course, that's not anything to sneeze at, but, you know, by U.S. Small Business Administration standards, it is a very, very small business. For companies in that position, Mindy, do you see some unique opportunities to really carve out some very special niches in the aromatherapy and herbal industries that can set you apart, maybe not make you a millionaire, but, you know, most of my audience isn't interested in going in that direction. They just want to make a profit.
Right.
Do you see some unique niche opportunities that are available? What are you seeing in terms of trends?
You know, I think it's really important to know your community and to know how big you want to be. And if you are staying small, it's really a good idea to get to know what's was kind of out there in the community in terms of garden clubs. This is a great place for people to kind of approach and give a free talk and talk about, you know, how herbs affect you and what was your passion for them and what your product can do for them. And really not just, you know, what your product can do for them. And check out, like I mentioned, the farmer's market. And if there's a botanic garden in your area where you can give a talk. And really, if it's not your product you're selling, it's definitely you that you're selling. And so building a reputation of knowing what you're talking about and having people trust you. And, you know, my advice to consumers is to always phone and be in touch with the person who's making your products. If you're the consumer, you know, you're voting with your dollars every day. And so call the company and be that kind of company that you're willing to take those customer service calls and be supportive and be helpful and, you know, just bend over backwards for your consumer base. And that really can make a difference, especially if you want to, if you're just a small company, you can do that.
Right. I love the point that you made about the garden clubs and things, because you really can extend your online presence in an offline way and really combine the two of them to get some really unique crossover synergies, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even I've given so many free talks, senior centers, you know, even places like that that maybe aren't going to spend a lot of money, but you're practicing your speaking skills,
right,
and you're,
right.
You know, you're getting your product out there, and you're getting feedback from the public,
yeah,
about what they like and don't like. It's really, I mean, if you consider it like a small focus group,
mm-hmm,
you can really use that information well.
You can, and certainly it's a great photo op too, so you get some pictures to post on your blog and your Facebook page about how you're serving in your community. Mindy, we have a question from Tyreka Swales in Texas. She is at Main Element Love on Twitter, for those of you who want to follow her, Main Element Love. Tyreka wants to know, Mindy, if you have any suggestions or recommendations for what to look for in aromatherapy certification school.
You know, that's a great question, Tyreka, and there are a number that come to mind. And one of the ways that you can search these out, I certainly have a long resource list in the back of my book. It's the second edition you mentioned, Aromatherapy, A Complete Guide to the Healing Art. But you can also find these on the Internet if you just search that. But I can tell you a few. And one is, if you go to aromahead.com, there are a great couple of women on the East Coast that do certification programs. There's the American College of Health Sciences. I'm on their advisory board. They're out of Portland, Oregon, and they're licensed as a trade school, and they're licensed by the state of Oregon to get a degree. So that's another very reputable place to go. And there are many, many others. Another way you can search that is to go to some of the associations, the National Association of Holistic Aromatherapists. That's NAHA.org. NAHA, and then also the AIA, that's the I can't keep all these acronyms straight, the Alliance of International Aromatherapists. And both of those organizations have lists of education centers.
Great.
And then if you want to take it a step further, there is an aromatherapy certification that you can get by the, you can put the letters RA, Registered Aromatherapist, after your name. And that is a little more, you have to be prepared for that, because you sit for an exam. There are over 300 multiple choice questions. If you pass the exam, then you get a certificate from them, which you have to update with credits and, you know, keep up your education every couple of years with them. But that's another way to go if you want to try to make yourself more credible. And there is no legislation that governs the practice of aromatherapy in the U.S., so you do have to be careful about what you're saying and what you're providing. You know, you can't make outrageous claims. And this brings me to another point, which maybe you're going to ask me anyway, but about the kinds of claims that you're making on your products. And the AIA had a conference recently in Chicago, and I gave a talk on, is your aromatherapy business keeping up with the changing legislative or regulatory climate that's out there? And you know, there's a lot that you need to know about in terms of making claims and what you're saying on your website. And I think that the biggest surprise for most people in that audience is that from the not the FDA, but the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, they govern what you're saying about your products. And if you have things on your website, even things from other people, testimonials, those are considered claims. And so you have to be cautious about what you're posting on there. And there are keywords about, you know, curing disease and preventing disease. You can't say any of those things. And when you start to name body parts or, you know, even I have a product for migraine headaches, they don't like that. That's a drug claim. So you have to be careful about what you're saying on your product labels and even on your website.
Those are definitely really good points, Mindy. Thank you for mentioning the legislative arena. We've certainly at the Indie Beauty Network been doing some advocacy actually on Capitol Hill with respect to some FDA law changes that are coming down the pike, and we've been working on those since 2008 actually. So that's a really good point. And you know, just as a reminder too, just visit FDA.gov and FTC.gov, which are the government websites where you can find this information in a general sense. But it's a really great point to be making that. So Mindy, now that we thanks for the suggestions too about educational locations. We're going to come back after our first break, and we're going to ask you Tyreka's second question because she had a part two. She
okay.
wants share how she can leverage that certification if she becomes a registered aromatherapist and gets that RA behind her name, or even if she doesn't. How can you leverage either of those, and how are they different in terms of how the public perceives you when you're selling aromatherapy products? We'll come back and ask Mindy Green that question in our next segment. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with prolific writer and lecturer Mindy Green. She's authored over 40 magazine articles on botanicals and skincare, and she's the co-author of one of my favorite aromatherapy books. It's called Aromatherapy, A Complete Guide to the Healing Art. If you don't have it, I strongly suggest that you get it. Of course, you can get it probably at your local natural store. You can, of course, get it at your local bookstores and, of course, on Amazon.com. It is a fantastic book for anyone who is beginning or anyone who has been using essential oils for a while. It's easy to read and follow, and it's a real fun book to have in your library. So, Mindy, before we took our first break, we were talking with Tyreka about getting a certification. So she's wondering in her second question, you know, what difference does it make? What if I get certification, and what if I just get certified, and then what if I get the registered aromatherapy certification? What's the difference, and how can it benefit my business to have the registration and the RA behind my name if there's no federal or state governance of how to use aromatherapist as a designation?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and it's very confusing both to the practitioner and the public. And, you know, some people would say, you know what, I'm not really into joining things, and I don't really care about labels after my name. And there are a lot of people like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that if you are able to prove yourself as a credible person, an educated person, and somebody that the public can trust in terms of the products that you're creating, in, you know, just in terms of safety and things like that, then perhaps you don't need that. A lot of people like to, it does expand your level of information and your level of knowledge. And I think that is reflected in your products. And I encourage lots and lots of education. And whether it's perceived as beneficial or not, I think that you will find it's very, very helpful. And so in terms of the levels, you can take a, quote, certification course, and it may be certified by NAHA or the AIA, and that's kind of as far as you want to go. But it, to take it to the next level, I mentioned the Aromatherapy Registration Council. There are a couple of websites you can go to. One is www.aromatherapycouncil.org. And then there you will find, you'll get a sampling of the questions that they ask and things like that. And I have to tell you, it does require a fair amount of information on the chemistry of essential oil, which in my mind is a very important part of knowing your aromatherapy really well and being familiar with your essential oils. One of the things that I've discovered from being in this industry for a long time and coming to aromatherapy through the herb industry is that a lot of aromatherapists were turned on to essential oils through a response or a personal experience that they got from a little bit of liquid in a little bottle. And from my perspective, as really basically an herbalist who has a strong bent toward aromatherapy, I think it's important to get to know the plants and the chemistry, plant families. You'll learn a lot about the essential oils by taking that extra leap into further education. And so I just really want to encourage that. I think it's a fabulous thing to have that registration council. And for one thing, getting back to answering the question, I think in terms of an industry like ours, we have to be self-regulating. Because if we're not, if we're doing unsafe practices, then we are at risk of losing our tools. And I saw this in the herb industry, and certainly essential oils are much, much stronger than herb teas or even tinctures. And so you really have to know a fair amount about essential oils to be safe in just your personal experience. But when you're making products for other people, it's very, very important to know the chemistry of the essential oil and how those things might interact together, and how if you blend essential oils from the same plant family, how it might potentiate each other and things like that. So, you know, the more education, the better. I think I answered the question.
No, you did. I mean, the more education, the better is certainly good. I mean, you know, I think it's really important, too, to dovetail on what you said, that, you know, you can get the RA or not, but you really kind of have to look at what exactly it is that you want to do. And maybe you could benefit from it. Maybe you, of course, you could benefit from it, but maybe it's worth the expense for some types of businesses than others. So let me ask you this to kind of follow up on that. One of the things I've seen some business owners do who manufacture cosmetics, Mindy, is because they either don't have the time or the inclination for whatever reason to get the actual registration, the RA nomenclature behind their names, they've actually collaborated to manufacture their products with someone who is an RA. And that way, they're able to say that they have some education. Maybe they're certified. They don't have an RA, but they have a certification certificate. And they've collaborated or partnered with an RA who helps them to create blends and products that work together in the kind of harmony that you suggested is necessary to have a successful product. What do you think of those kinds of collaborations for people who, you know, just can't get an RA right now for whatever reason?
I think that's fantastic, and certainly we, you know, as business owners, we can't do everything.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
So, you know, you pick out your strong suit, and you focus on that. And if that means you hire somebody to do the mm-hmm. essential oil blend for your lotion or whatever it is, then that's certainly acceptable, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good collaboration, because when I was on the person's website, you know, I was impressed with the product already, but then I saw, you know, meet the registered aromatherapist who helps us with the blends, and that just gave the business and the product more credibility, and it didn't even, you know, it wasn't even an impediment that the person actually making the product that I was buying did not have an RA. So that's a good alternative. And we have a question from Lisa Casper. on Twitter for those who want to check her out at Blue Moon Candles. Lisa's also a member of the Indie Beauty Network. And Lisa wants to know if you can get your RA certificate online. I know you can get various different kinds of certifications that aren't RA online. Can you get an RA certification online, Mindy?
No, that's a great question. And the other two educational bodies that I mentioned, especially the American College of Health Sciences, their program is all online. But an RA, basically all you do for the RA is you sit for the exam. And so there's nothing to do with, they're just a testing organization. And by the way, this is an organization you can test, check them out at, I think it's www.ptcny for New York. And it's a private testing company that does certification for a lot of different industries. And I think even nursing industries. So it's go and look at it. They're very highly regulated and respected. And so basically what you do is you sign up, you tell them when you're ready to sit for the exam, and then they tell you where a place to go. I did it at a college in Denver. And so you sit, you go to the college, you sit for the exam. It takes, you know, I forget how long they give you, I think 3 hours or something for the exam. It may have changed by now. But
you sit for the exam. Is this the Aroma Registration Council, Mindy?
Correct.
Okay, good. So.
Yeah.
So everyone knows, it is www.ptcny.com, and when you get there, all you have to do is click on testing test information and then scroll down to aromatherapy where it's the ARC registration examination in aromatherapy, and you'll see that there. Thank you. And they're located. They're all over the country. There's like 20 regional testing centers here.
Exactly.
Georgia, Arizona, Seattle. So that's really great that they make it possible for people around the country. $275 is the exam fee. So, Mindy, when you do that, do you have to have any prerequisites in order to sit for that exam, or can anyone pay the fee and walk
and be
graded on the exam?
Anyone can pay the fee. You don't have to have a certification if you're self-educated. It's kind of like an equivalency test. If you can pass this test, then you know enough to call yourself an RA.
So this is really good because it provides small business owners with the flexibility they need to either teach themselves or just collect the information that they need and take the test, whether they have a certification or not.
Absolutely, yes. We wanted something that didn't require. I was in some of the early planning stages of getting this testing in place, and it really, I think it lends a lot of credibility to our industry, and, I can't support it enough. I think it's great.
That's a really good point, and Christina, also on our show, Christina Proano-Carrion has just posted the link to the application, so thank you so much.
Perfect.
For doing that, Christina. That was really good. So, let's just say, you know, whether you get your certification or not, you have a business, you're working through what is a challenging economic time, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Let it stop us, but, you know, we do have to, you know, be aware of the world that we live in right now. Mindy, what sorts of things are you seeing in terms of consumers who really do want to purchase the products that they consider to be natural and you know, maybe herb-based, aromatherapy-based? What are you seeing in terms of their buying habits these days? Because, as I said at the top of the show, of course, everyone wants to be healthy. Most people do want to use more natural things than not. But don't they usually cost more? And what tips can you offer for small business owners to help justify those costs in the minds of their purchasers and other stakeholders?
You know, I think it again, comes all back to education. If you have an educated consumer who is aware of what the ingredients are in your product and why they're there and what they're doing, what is their functionality in there, then you've pretty much sold your product.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, giving talks and attending conferences, and a lot of times those conferences have booths, and, you know, try to get to be a speaker at those places. Again, even if it's just your local garden club or your farmer's market, you know, just provide some educational material. If you can't give a talk, then put it on a sell sheet. And again, you've got to be careful of claims.
Right.
So it's a tricky prospect of saying what it does without making outrageous claims, and also backing up your claims with scientific research. And it might surprise your listeners to know that there is actually a lot of research out there on essential oils. Sometimes it's only about the chemistry, but more and more there's information out there about how it affects us, whether psychologically, physiologically, whatever. And a couple of places to keep up with that kind of information is to subscribe to the local journals. Again, if you're not a member of NAHA or the AIA, maybe you should consider subscribing, or even just going on PubMed, which is a free website, and it's certainly one that I utilize a lot. And type in essential oils and acne, or whatever it is, essential oils and respiratory problems, something like that, and you'll be surprised how much comes up.
Now, Mindy, Mary Humphrey on Twitter at Annie Scothill, she has a question about the certification once you get it. She wants to know if you have to retake the test in order to retain your certification.
You do not have to retake the test, but you do have to submit your continuing education credits, and they will provide you with all that information on guidelines on how to do that. So it's every 2 years. Yeah.
And so I would imagine that some of the continuing education you can do can be by way of maybe attending a conference or maybe even an online class to keep your certification up. Okay.
I just want to correct something I said. I said every 2 years, and I'm mistaken. It's every 5 years. I don't know. 2 years was another. It's another certification I belong to. It's for the American Herbalist Guild. But every 5 years for the ARC.
Every 5 years. And is there a five-year fee? Do you have to pay a fee to retain it on an annual or every five-year basis?
I want to say there might be. It's been, my certification is coming up in 2011.
Okay.
So it's been 4 years since I recertified. So I have to be honest, I can't remember.
Okay, but you haven't had to pay anything in that four-year period?
No, that is correct.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, it seems to me that $275 is not a lot to pay for something that can give you this kind of credibility if you want to be involved in the aromatherapy industry.
Yes, and if you fail the test, I forget what the waiting period is. I think it might be 6 months, but you can retake the test.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yep. That's good to know. That's a really good point to know, because some people just aren't good test takers and might need a second chance. Christina Perano-Carrion has a question for you, Mindy. She wants to know, how do you compete with the huge multi-level marketing and direct sales aromatherapy companies? We're going to be talking about that. That's an excellent question. Stay tuned for that. We've got to take a break now, or my show engineer is going to be mad at me. This is Indie Business Radio. We're going to come back and answer that question for you, Christina, right here with Mindy Green on Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking with author and herbalist Mindy Green, and she's providing us with some fantastic information specifically for people who are in or would like to be involved in the aromatherapy industries. Let's take a second. Mindy, share with us your website where we can go to find out more about you.
Yeah, it is Green Sensations. That's G-R-E-E-N-S-C-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E greensensations.com, greensensations.com. And I have to just kind of confess here that there's not a lot on my website right now. Mostly what's on there is the classes that I've got coming up for the coming year. Soon I will have other information on there, and if any of your listeners are interested in consulting services, that will be posted very soon.
Great. Well, we'll definitely be looking for that. And, you know, Mindy, I'm sorry, I just got to do this. I got to tell everybody that you have a Facebook page, even though, as you said, it's not that active, but that's okay because we can help out with that, right, guys? Because once you get people at your Facebook page, we help you make it active. So are you on, you're on Facebook, and so we can search for you there and try to connect with you, right?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, there are, at the last time I searched for my name, there were 23 Mindy Greens on Facebook. So that's kind of one of the reasons I went to my own website.
Well, let and me also how easy it is trying to just find you, Miss Mindy Green, are on page one of the search results when I look for you. And it's
okay, good.
It's a picture I put of you on my website. So if you want to know what Mindy looks like, go to indiebusinessradio.com, look at her picture. It's the exact same picture on her Facebook page, and I just sent you a Facebook friend request. Hope you accept
that.
I
absolutely will.
So, hey, you know, it's all about helping each other spread the word. That's how it's done. So let's talk about Christina's question, Mindy. How do you, as a small manufacturer, compete with the very large direct sales and network marketing companies that have independent consultants in 50,000 places in every city?
You know, that's a good question, Christina, and it's very frustrating to the independent business owner because you have to really think of yourself as not competing in that same market, I think. Otherwise, it's very frustrating. I think you have to carve out your own niche, and starting locally is a great way to do it, and certainly through the Internet you can have a broader reach than just your region. But, again, writing articles, getting yourself out there is a credible source of information. Is probably the way that you differentiate yourself, and just building a clientele that's loyal and that can trust your products. That's huge. And a lot of those larger companies, you know, I just have to say that it's unfortunate that some of the information that's out there from some of those larger multi-level companies isn't always accurate. It's not always the best reflection of our industry. And sometimes the claims are outrageous. It just boggles my mind how they continue to get away with things like that in this marketplace of, you know, watching Internet claims and things like that. But, you know, just kind of keep your mind to the positive, take the high road, and consider yourself not really in that market. You know, you've got to carve out a different individual niche for yourself.
You know, Mindy, I'm so glad you said that. Don't even consider yourself a part of that market. One of the things to dovetail with what you just said that I think I see across all industries, and I'd like your comment on this, and that is no matter what industry you're in, if there are companies in the network marketing arena that are selling products that compete with you, the fact of the matter is that when you own your own business, you own your brand. And so you can say whatever you want about your brand. You can collaborate with other people and use your brand name. And that is one of the things that network marketing reps cannot do. They are not allowed to use that brand name in ways that the company says they can't use it. They can't put the brand name all over Facebook. They can't, you know, come on my radio show and use the brand name without the company's permission. And that is really one of the biggest advantages that small companies that own their own brand have over. You can start a blog and use the brand name because you own it. You cannot do that when you're working with a network marketing company. Can you share comments and insights on that as well? Is that what you've noticed?
Well, you know, I just couldn't agree with you more about that, and I think that's, again, part of what makes you unique and makes your brand an individual kind of thing. And, again, I keep stressing education. You have to be a credible source of information, and therefore people will be able to trust your brand.
Right, and that's a good point, too, because if you're a network marketing representative, you probably are not going to educate yourself beyond what that company provides for you. You're not going to go sit for the exam 9 times out of 10. So you have a built-in way to differentiate yourself as a more credible source of information and oils, right?
Yes, And, you know, in terms of information, the amount of stuff on your website, I just have to applaud. It's just fantastic. But another resource I want to provide to your listeners is the American Herbal Products Association.
Great.
And they have, in the past, been mostly focused on dietary supplements, you know, vitamins and herbs and things like that. But in the last few years, they have been aware, I've made them aware, and they've made me the chairperson for botanicals and cosmetics for their organization. And the meetings take place at the Natural Products Expo, East and West, and you can just Google Natural Products Expo West. It happens in Anaheim. It's coming up in March. And those meetings are open to the public. And so anybody who has a small indie business who would like to come and just listen to what's going on, what kinds of things we're doing, you can also be part of the conference calling if you want to hear what's going on. And you can follow it by going onto the website for the American Herbal Products Association, AHPA.org, AHPA.org.
AHPA.org. I'm going to go there and check it out. There it is right now.
Yeah.
Excellent resource, American Herbal Products Association. Mindy, Christina wants me to follow up on her question and make sure that we address the issue of claims that other companies make. I think this is true whether it's network marketing or not. There are a lot of companies out there that are making medical, you know, structure and function, so to speak, FDA-prohibited claims on their products. From time to time, I see it on the shelves in the natural stores. They're big companies, small companies. So Christina wants some tips on how to compete effectively with companies that are doing that and, you know, and not doing it ourselves because we would like to follow the law.
Right, right. Well, I think that she kind of just also nailed it there with if she wants to compete with them, that's not the market. You don't want to go down that road because eventually those companies will be taken to task for the claims that they're making. And, you know, yeah, it is, they maybe can get away with it for a number of years. I've been surprised to see stores that are in malls that have booklets on things like headache relief and menopause blend and PMS this and that, and they're no longer in business. And so, you know, you just have to kind of ride the straight and narrow road there and be authentic to your product and to the legislative guidelines, and your business will outlast them.
And here's the thing, Mindy. Let's say that Christina or someone is approached by a customer who's looking at one of her products that looks fantastic. The claims are all above board, and the customer says something like this. Well, you know what? You know, I have something that smells kind of like this that I got from such and such a company, and it says that it will, you know, make my headache go away or something like that. Can your product do that? I mean, what, you can differentiate yourself, but from a practical perspective, do you have any tips for responding to that without poo-pooing another company and making the whole conversation about them?
You know, it is, I have to admit, it's difficult in marketing materials especially. Not so much when you're talking one-on-one, because you get an opportunity. This is an educational opportunity for you to have with this potential customer. And it's one of the reasons I love education, because I can, you know, and writing, because you can say a lot more in writing than you can on a sell sheet. And so it also gives you an opportunity to point to substantiation studies that are out there that will substantiate the claims that you are verbally providing that maybe you can't put in writing. But if you know, a good model for listeners now, I think, is the natural products industry. If you go to see what the herb industry has done over the years, you know, they went through some legislative challenges in the early 90s, and they got the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act passed in 1994. And that provided those companies with being able to make, you mentioned it, structure function claims. So you could say on an echinacea tincture that it will support healthy immunity, but you can't say that it cures colds and flus. And so in the short time that we have left, I just want to really emphasize that that's a good model. Dechet is a good model for what you might be able to say on your products. And keeping in mind that nobody's making claims for internal use, I'm assuming that everybody who's listening is talking about claims for external use. So that's a good place to start. And again, the natural products industry, even if you're attending the show as a retailer, you can get in for free, and you can really see what's going on in the industry. That show is for retailers, for health food store owners and buyers of larger, you know, department stores and things like that. It's a good place to check out what's happening. And you mentioned the Natural Products Merchandiser. It's a free publication. Almost anybody can sign up. Just go to their website, and you can get that either online or mailed to you. So there are a lot of resources in the natural products industry that translate to the aromatherapy industry from herbalism.
Good point. Good point. So you mentioned something that really piqued my interest, too, and that is how the nutritional supplement industry carved out this little exception for themselves. We have visited with the FDA and had numerous conversations with, you know, industry trade organizations from, you know, different sorts of arenas. And, you know, that's a very fascinating thing that they were able to do. I'm wondering if you have any insight into how long it took them to obtain that sort of special status. Do you know anything about that?
You know, it was quite a long process, but one thing that I do know about it is that the Congress and senators got more mail about keeping their dietary supplements non-prescription than they did about the Vietnam War, and this was pretty well talked about during those early years in the early 90s about how many people rallied because they wanted to make vitamins and herbs prescription-only products, and you can imagine the outcry from the public about that. So, you know, I'm not sure that we can compare exactly, but I think that making essential oils, keeping them under the radar and keeping them kind of in the realm of Dashe is a good place to be right now.
Yeah, we have to think a lot about that, particularly as we look at the FDA Globalization Act of 2009, which is pending, but probably will be replaced by a 2010 or 2011 act as we move forward. We're watching these issues very closely, and for those of you who like to follow them, you can check out indiebusinessadvocate.com for my updates on our visits to Capitol Hill and elsewhere on these legislative issues. Mindy, this has been a fantastic show. I want you to tell us once again what your website is, please, and it's January now, so tell us where you're going to be, the two places or three places you're going to be throughout the rest of January and February where my listeners can come and meet you in person and listen to you share.
Oh, great. Well, actually, tomorrow I leave for Tucson. I'm giving a talk for Andy Weil's doctors for his residential program. Very excited about that, to introduce the concept of clinical aromatherapy to medical docs. And that's, of course, a kind of closed session for them. But I will be at the AromaHead Institute, which I mentioned earlier. And I will be in Boston also. I'll be in Northern California coming up soon. I will be speaking at the Natural Products Expo West in Anaheim. And you can go to my website to see all the other places. There are things that will be going up there soon. I live in Minnesota, so I teach locally. I have a class in Wisconsin, in Madison, coming up in the summer. I also want to mention I'm doing this fantastic five-day or week-long program in the south of France, and 5 days of using essential oils in skincare specifically. So there'll be 5 days of education for that, as well as going to the lavender fields and visiting distilleries. That's a fantastic opportunity. And for information on that, you can go to www.aroma-tours.com and sign up there. Or, again, just go to my website, Mindy Green Sensations, Green Sensations, greensensations.com.
Great, great. I love Aroma Tours, aroma-tours.com, fantastic company to collaborate with. So for those of you who are going to be in France, June 30th through July 5th, and who isn't, you got to check that out. Mindy Green, thank you so much for joining today, greensensations.com. For more, we have come to the end of our time together today. I thank all of you for joining, especially to my guest, Mindy Green. Join me next week on Indie Business Radio, Monday, January 25th, when I will have a collection of Indie Beauty Network members to talk about their experiences and how to be successful in the beauty business. That's next week, January 25th, right here on Indie Business Radio. Until then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.